about West Marina. I told him I would embarrass him for a second. About 2 months ago, a young man called me after 5 p.m. on a weekday and said, our house just got condemned. I'm at the library downtown, and my mom and siblings are at McDonald's, and we don't have a place to stay tonight. And I called Alex Smith at the city and West Marina at the county, and within an hour, Wes had coordinated with City Councilwoman Allison Patton to get this family into a hotel for two nights and then worked into a shelter that the county and city were supporting. And that's just one example, one small example of something where our local officials went above and beyond on very short notice. It's deeply appreciated, and I couldn't be prouder to represent this community.
That's State Representative Alex Andrade at the Escambia County Legislative Delegation meeting last week. And I know that County Administrator Wes Moreno loves nothing more than public speaking, surprises, and getting praised in public. So I wanted to open with that. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here.
So it's funny. I was listening to Alex say that, and I'm like, oh, he's hating this. just let me do my stuff, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate the kind words, but you know, when he calls, you get to kind of hear the concern in his voice of wanting to engage and get something accomplished to help the family. And
yeah,
you know, it's funny how things work out. I had formed a relationship with Allison Patton, and we had been talking closely about homelessness and things of that nature. So it was just natural to reach out to her, and then she got, you know, went into motion, and she really, I think she really did the heavy lift. But I do appreciate the kind words, and more importantly, the family was able to find some shelter, at least for a short period of time anyway.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to share this, because I think, you know, sometimes the coverage of, you know, what the county does can be, you know, fixated on some of the negative things or the controversy. And I always like to celebrate the good stuff. And I celebrate you and many of the other employees. I know you'd give a lot of them more credit than even yourself for just being decent people who want to help and do what's right and everything within their power to do what's good for the citizens. So I appreciate that as well. So some of the things that are on the agenda for today. Today we got the old two meetings, you know, the agenda review in the morning and the evening meeting in the afternoon. Hey, no, just, I mean, kind of a side note, I was thinking about this. All of the other local boards and councils, their agenda review is always separated by a day or two or three. In fact, typically Monday to Thursday is a real common one. Have you guys ever thought about, because it seems weird to me that we do some meetings with an agenda review and some without, same day. And then it just seems like if it were separated Monday to Thursday, that would give staff more time to answer questions and work on research. Is that something that you guys have ever thought about or the board has shown any interest in doing?
You know, Andrew, I want to say years ago, I believe maybe we used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started talking about coming to daytime meetings, I think some of that changed. I wasn't involved in those conversations back then. But it seems like years ago we used to do that. And I think what I've tried to do anyway is meet and talk with commissioners on a very regular basis. And go through the agenda. I go through the agenda with every single one of them. And, you know, if they have any questions or if they think of a question, because they review these agendas pretty heavily themselves. They're pretty well read in by the time we walk to the boardroom. And, but sometimes they'll have a question that'll spring up. But for the most part, we try to cover it prior to. And, you know, there's something really, really, inquisitive that they have about a certain recommendation, you know, usually we can find it out in a day. It's usually not that big a deal for us.
Okay. It just seemed like, you know, if we're going to do agenda reviews, maybe we should do them all the time if they're worth doing, and then kind of maybe do it with a little bit of a gap. But I assume that you meet with them frequently, you know, and go over stuff. So, you know, nothing is a big surprise once they get into the meeting. The only surprise might be what the other commissioners think, obviously, because of Sunshine. One of the interesting notes here is, you know, the sheriff's office and your legal team have been working for quite a while now on revising the panhandling/media standing sidewalk, all of that ordinance. It's kind of a jumble of things now. And there is a proposed revision on, I guess it's going to be a hearing for a revision, but the revision would be to clean it up. And the way I understand it is, make it pass constitutional muster so that the sheriff can actually start enforcing it and get people off the medians. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. Just something that we feel and his legal team feel are legally a little bit more enforceable. Mm-hmm. And getting people out of the roadbed is the focus of it. And today we're just scheduling a public hearing for the December 7th meeting. But that's the gist of it, something more enforceable. It's getting to be a real problem. It has been a real problem. And sometimes it gets mixed with homelessness. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But there's some aggressive things going on in some of our intersections, and I think our community is they're speaking loudly about it. I mean, there's people making gestures, hollering, cussing at motorists. Some of them even hit cars or kick cars, and we feel like it's just getting a little bit out of hand. So we need to try to rein it in. That's what we're trying to do.
I suspect that you will have a handful of activists who oppose it. And 99.99% of the general public will cheer you if you can bring a solution to this problem at all. One question I read it the other day, but I didn't have this question in mind when I was reading it. There are a lot of intersections where, I know where they're on the median specifically at those intersections, mm-hmm. but there are other intersections, and I'm particularly thinking of like the access roads onto from 110. Where they're not standing on a median per se, they're standing on the right of way to the left side as you get ready to make a left turn, like on the grassy kind of area. Would that also be prohibited under this new ordinance, do you know?
I think it's anything that interferes with the flow of traffic.
Okay.
So if they're doing something there that's causing an interference or unsafe condition, I think it would probably more likely be enforceable.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the conversation. And I celebrate that we're trying to do something to get this problem under control in a way that also honors and recognizes the constitutional limits on any restriction government tries to make on speech, basically. One of the other items on the agenda today has to do with eliminating eliminating the 4-story building height limit in the community redevelopment area, Warrington and Brownsville and that area. It's right now at 4 stories on non-residential, so that would mean apartment complexes because that's commercial and, hotels primarily. Have there been a lot of efforts to develop 4-story plus? I'm in favor, by the way. I think this makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. That's the one question. Have there been a lot of efforts? And the second one is, typically you want to build up when there is no more horizontal space available, but of course there's lots of horizontal space available in those areas. So is this necessary yet? Is kind of what I'm thinking about.
Well, I think that there is some initiatives there in that area that some folks may have some plans, but this is an initiative of Commissioner Kohler there in the Warrington area.
Okay.
Trying to spur revitalization, spur redevelopment, clean the area up, and I think there's some interest in some development there in the Warrington area. And this is just a component that he's requested, a change that he's requested in that overlay to make it a little more favorable to revitalize the area.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if that gets us a 6 or even an 8-story hotel somewhere that makes sense to people, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. That makes sense to me. I've grown up everywhere I've lived. They've had things. It's kind of weird when you drive around. It's like 4 stories and stop, right, for a lot of these projects. Because once they're invested in the bottom four, they could probably make a pretty good profit having 2 more or something like that. You guys are going to take a flag that flew over the Oriskany, right?
We are. It'll be handed off this evening's meeting. They delivered it Wednesday, actually. Tuesday afternoon they delivered it. It's to be presented by Commanding Officer Pete Peterson of the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association. And it's a good event. It recognizes, coming into Veterans Week and Veterans Day, it did fly over the risk. The thought behind the flag, as I understand it, is, of course, it's in honor of all the men and women who have served.
Of course.
But it's supposed to tour around. It came to us from the city of Milton.
Oh.
I don't know how long it was over there.
Okay.
Over there. And so it's here. It'll be here now. It's a pretty big display, so I'm not sure exactly where we're going to put it just yet, but we'll find a good spot for it. And I'm not sure what the tour schedule is. I don't know if it stays with us for a year and then moves on. I'm not sure about those things. But it'll be a good presentation to the board, a very worthy presentation for all the combat veterans in our area and across the nation. So it'll be a good event. Yeah.
What a great way to honor, you know, the people who served on board a ship, and then, like you said, to have it tour in the places where they're likely to be living, and so they could enjoy the record. I love that. I didn't know it was touring. That's fantastic. Two quick things. One is, how is the SEC tournament going? Any hiccups? Everything going well?
Everything is going as smoothly as it can go. We got a little cool on us the other night.
Yeah.
But I think moving into the weekend, moving into the Final Four coming down, I think we'll have good weather. I think it'll be good mild weather. And the teams are loving the new facilities out there. The SEC's loving the new facilities. Michael Rose and Parks, I know I say it all the time, but they just knock it out of the park and working hand in hand with the SEC and their officials. And it's just been a good week. It's been a good event. There's been no hiccups. Good attendance, great attendance. And so it'll be interesting to see when it's all over and done with what the overall attendance was or is, and the economic impact that's going to have here in Escambia County.
I don't think you should say Michael Rhodes knocks it out of the park, because that would mean interfering with somebody else's business. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I hear you.
And last thing, and this is, I don't want to jinx it because it still has to happen today, but today is the end, the final, the last of the union contract ratifications, and it's the last of a very long process of getting the ECAT union contract ratified. Is that right?
It is. Folks have worked on longer than me, but I've worked at it for 2 years. And we were able to get a ratified contract that's going to be good for the employees and good for the county and the management over there. And then once we got that ratified, we're addressing wages over there at ECAT because they need to be addressed. You can't hire CDL drivers for $14.74 an hour. But this has been a work in progress. And, I hate to say it, we could have done this a year ago or maybe even sooner, But either way, here we are. We've got it, and the board will ratify it this morning, and then we'll be able to move forward, and that'll be all of our unions wrapped up. We still have some openers with a couple of unions, but by and large, I think we can say we've accomplished a few things.
How many open union contracts did you inherit?
Fire was open. ECAT was open.
EMS?
There was EMS was open.
I thought
actually,
also corrections.
Contract opener.
Corrections too, right?
Corrections was open, yeah. Most all, four out of the five, I would say.
Okay.
Four out of the five.
Well, I'll say this, man. Well done. I mean, that's just, I know ECAT was pulling the tooth at the end, but, that's just good work, honestly, to get those all locked down. Wes Moreno, he is our Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, man, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do for the county. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good one now.